Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is DeLon White, R&B soul singer of Ambient Records, and you are listening to Bianca Fly on her beautiful Butterfly Radio Show, part of the Vibration Radio Network, where she gives interviews, information, and covers all types of topics.
And welcome, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. Want to say happy Tuesday to you guys out there. Hope that you had a fantastic weekend. Hope that this week is kicking off on a great and a positive note for you guys. If you didn't know, the Beautiful Butterfly Radio Show is brought to you by Vibration Radio. That means you're listening to a show that's being broadcast globally. So big shouts out to our friends at Vibration Radio, as well as to our sponsors over at Ambient Records in Kansas City with CEO Stephen Jerome Ferguson. So if you are a music artist, poet, and you're looking for a place to record some of your tracks, or you may be an author, you may be ready to put some of those books on audio, he is the man to connect with him. You can connect with him via Facebook, Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Also, their page, Ambient Records, or their website, Ambient Records. com, and also to our friends at The Shop in Marrero, Louisiana. They have the best karaoke and food and just all around fun. So if you guys ever in Marrero, Louisiana, make sure you go and check out The Shop located at 3609 West Bank Highway in Marrero, Louisiana. And so tonight, folks, you're in store for a special treat, as always, over here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. Tonight, we got a new guest. You guys know how I love new guests. Tonight, we are welcoming Dr. Onika Shirley, you guys, and she's going to come on. She is the founder and CEO of Action Speaks Volumes. She is also a life coach, and man, she does many things. But tonight we're going to be talking about unwrapping your gifts while creating multiple streams of income. And I think as soon as we drop this post, so many people say, you know what, I have to tune into tonight's show. You know, a lot of us are trying to already plan for the new year, and we want to know how can we tap into our gifts, how can we identify those gifts, and more importantly, how can we turn those things into multiple streams of income. And so Onika is going to share that with us tonight and more. So make sure you got your pen, your paper, and you're ready, because you're going to be in store for a special treat. And as always, throughout the broadcast, if you have a question or a comment for her, or you just want to call in and say hello, feel free to do so by calling in. The number is 347-326-9139 is the number. And all you have to do is press 1 to join the conversation with us. And so we're not going to delay any longer. We're going to bring the lady of the hour on here, you guys, so you can get to know her better for yourself. Onika, are you there?
I am here. Yes.
Welcome. How are you doing? Here.
I am doing good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I just finished shoveling snow for about an hour and a half. And so I am doing ecstatic right now.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. I know that it is that time of the year.
It is, yes.
Yes. Wow.
Absolutely. And so, but I'm glad that you're here. I definitely appreciate you joining me this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited for being here.
Absolutely. And so, Onika, for the people out here, this may be their first time hearing you speak, being introduced to you. Tell us a little bit about who is Onika Shirley.
All right. Well, I am Dr. Onika Shirley, the founder and CEO of Action Speaks Volume Incorporated, where I help women build unshakable confidence, stop procrastinating, and to get their dreams out of their heads and into their lives. I'm also the founder and international director for Action Speaks Volume Orphanage Home and Foundation in India. I also host Action Takers Walking by Faith live radio broadcast. I am a 8-time author, singer, songwriter, coach, mentor, and counselor.
Just to name a few. Just to name a few, but I am definitely excited about you having you here on the show tonight. And I have to ask you, where did the passion to help encourage and motivate women to live their fullest potential? Where did that motivation come from? When did you find that that was your passion?
That's a great question. The passion came from, and it's funny because if I can be transparent, that
Absolutely.
Was not my original. That was not my original passion because you
okay.
know, women can be pretty strange, and so I thought that my calling was to help children. And so when I initially started, my business name was Shirley's Open Ears. But
okay.
to me, it sounded like a little daycare. And so as I continued to ask God what it is that he wanted me to do, and, you know, God is always funny. He always have us do that thing that we don't want to do. And so since I didn't really like dealing with women because of the emotions and the attitudes and
right.
all the stuff that women have, that's where he directed me to. So when it came down to creating the avatar, and I never could come up with a child, I never could come up with the men that I was counseling and coaching on my job, it always
right.
came back to a Tasha. It came back to a Nicole. It came
mm-hmm.
back to an Angela. And so the passion came from my obedience to God. And one thing about it is it may not be where you start, but
mm-hmm.
it is where you finish. And
Absolutely.
When you're obedient to God, that kind of give you a passion. He molded
Absolutely.
Me into the passion to help women.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to talk about obedience for a minute, because a lot of times, you know, God has a way of directing our path and kind of putting us in place for things. And like you said, even things that are originally not our very own plan. And so for you, do you think that being obedient, especially for us, you know, as women, I know this does apply to men as well, but being obedient as far as following that passion, following that new journey, do you believe it definitely has its challenges?
Oh, absolutely, because when you're just because God give us an assignment doesn't always mean that we're ready to listen and that we're ready to follow every step. We are generally ready to follow the steps that does not require trips, that does not require detours, that does not require delays, and does not require some turnarounds. And so it offers challenges. It brings up challenges because it's not always as smooth, because you feel like, well, I'm following you, God, so everything
right.
should go the way you said. And when it doesn't, it makes us a little discouraged.
Absolutely. 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 And for you, because like you said, a lot of times when it comes to working with women, especially as a woman, we're hesitant because of so many things that you listed, from because we're women, so we know how we as women operate, feelings and emotions and all of those parameters. And so a lot of times you find women who are skeptical about doing business with other women or helping or coaching or what have you other women because of those things. And so if you would allow those things to keep you from what you're doing now, what do you think your life would be like had you allowed the initial thought of, okay, what is this going to be like to work with women?
Oh, I think my life would be very different, because anytime, kind of goes back to the last question, anytime you're not mm-hmm. obedient to God, you can't expect blessings to come out of that. And
right.
what I have found that being obedient and walking down the path that God has called me to walk down, it was actually more than a blessing that I could even imagine, because he always
right.
knows the plan before we know it. So I really couldn't really imagine other than the consequences of not being obedient, and I really
mm-hmm.
don't know what that would look like, and I probably wouldn't want to imagine what that would look like, because I know, you know, just from times of doing things that he didn't necessarily say or
right.
told me to do, you know, the
right.
consequences that came from that. So
absolutely.
I know it'll definitely look way different than it is today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're also, and when I read this in your bio, I was like, oh, where was she at five years ago? But you're also a confidence building and procrastination coach. And so
yeah.
I was like, procrastination, that's where I was. Like, for the longest time, I was like, where was Onika when I needed her? And so how did you get into that as far as the confidence building and being a procrastination coach? What made you say, you know what, these are some things that some folks could definitely need some encouragement and push on?
Good question. With both of those, one, with me being in a car wreck 22 years ago, left
wow.
with a lot of physical scars from my face all the way down to my feet. And so
wow.
I still had to find the strength to love myself. But
right.
I saw other people that didn't really have the scars that I had that didn't love themselves. And I was thinking,
wow.
you know, there's something wrong with that. And I
right.
know with me having the visible scars, and some of the people that I encountered, they had scars on the inside, which I had some too, but I never felt like that I didn't have what it took, that I couldn't walk in purpose. And
right.
so when I saw the struggle of those women that I encountered, I said, there's a need, and that's what
mm-hmm.
we're here for, to fulfill a need. And on the confidence side, I have always been like a numbers person. I've always been like a person that loved to be on time. I would rather wait than to have somebody waiting on me.
Right.
But I
right.
found many times that other people didn't have that. And so
mm-hmm.
I am the person that knows that it's 1,400 minutes in a day and 86,400 seconds and 168 hours in a week. And so
wow.
when I found that, you know, when we sit and we wait and we wait, and there are some things that people don't realize as to why they procrastinate, and there are just simple steps that they can do to eliminate the procrastination. And so I found, again, that there was a need, because a lot of times people will say that, you know, oh, they're not going to start on time, so I'll be late. And so when everybody has
mm-hmm.
that attitude, they
mm-hmm.
may start on time if everybody had the same attitude that I'm going to start on time.
Right.
I'm going to come on time. And
right.
so I saw that there was a great need in both areas as far as building confidence and stopping the procrastination.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those people. If you tell me that an event is starting at 1 o'clock, most of the times I'm going to be there between 12:15, 12:30. You know, so I can get
yeah.
a seat so I don't feel rushed. And so a lot of times people always ask me, like, why are you so early? As if something, you know, is definitely wrong with that. But it's because, you know, I want to be punctual and I want to be respectful of the person who's having the event, you know. And so I always right. try to push myself to get there ahead of time, because I would feel the same way. You know, if I was having something, I always like folks to be on time. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you're going to have those who are never on time, and you always know who they are. But, you know, sometimes it can be challenging. And so I used to question myself, like, well, maybe I just need to, you know, wait a little longer. But I said, no, you know, I'm not going to change, you know, how I'm doing things, because I'm there, I'm punctual, I'm on time, I'm ready to receive the information that's going to be given. And I've just learned to go with that. And it's also helped, you know, kind of encourage other people to show up earlier, you know, as well, by encouraging them to get to events earlier also. But I also did, Onika, wanted to talk to you about the confidence building. And I believe, like, now more than ever, confidence building is so needed. We see so many of our, even our young girls and young women now, who are dealing with a huge amount of confidence issues, from body mm-hmm. type, from skin complexion is a huge one, and just various things that they're experiencing. And I've had this conversation, and a lot of times people have talked about how now with a social media age, social media has definitely put, you know, that stick into confidence. Whereas women are comparing themselves to people that, you know, they see on social media or reality shows or what have you. Do you think that social media has had a huge influence on how we as women assess ourselves and look at ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. Social media has had a big impact. But mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. a lot of times if we kind of go back to the mm-hmm. beginning, that if we had a rule of not comparing, because sometimes social media
right.
can paint a picture that's not real.
Right.
Because a lot
right.
of times when you evaluate what you see on social media and what you actually see in reality, it's not the same. I mean, you
right.
see people, they're made up. We know that they can do all types of things like they do on TV. And I mean, it's just the same, because you know people that you know don't look like they do on social media. So you think, like,
right.
wait a minute. You're like, wait a minute. You know, so when you start evaluating, you know, what you see in reality and what you see on social media, that's one way. But then what I tell people is, when we know who we are, mm-hmm. and it all starts from the Creator.
That's
when
right.
you know who you are, I don't have to compare and worry about who I'm not. And that comes from my scars, that comes from my skin, that comes from my shape, my size. I don't have to compare myself to you or to this person or to that person to feel accepted. But I think a lot of times people never really hear that you are a daughter of the King. That's my son,
that's right.
in whom I love and well pleased. And when they
right.
don't hear that, they're looking for validation, and they're making their comparison from the outside. But when you get it from within, nothing on the outside really matters. But a lot of people
Absolutely.
Miss that validation point where they're looking for validation from everything around them, and they're missing
mm-hmm.
the thing that they have within them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do you believe that the validation comes from the pure fact that we want to be accepted, you know, by those who surround us?
Yes. Yes. And acceptance is huge in this era. Acceptance is huge in our young girls, and even with our young men, acceptance is huge. It's huge for some adults, a lot of adults.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have to do the extra work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do the extra work to
Absolutely.
Really. I mean, because it's no way around it. It's no way around it. It's not a secret. There is no super formula to it. Until
mm-hmm.
people know who they are and accept that, nothing else, nothing that's said or done is going to matter. Because even as a mom, if you don't have those conversations with sons and daughters, they're going to cling to the first person that accepts them. So if it's a gang, if that gives them
right.
a sense of belonging,
right.
they'll join the gang. If it's
right.
an association or a club or whatever, whatever that organization is that give them a sense of belonging, that's where they'll put their heart and their mind and everything else in. But we have to put in the extra work to, you know, to let them know who they are. And we have work to do, a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. We actually have a question from this one comes from Gabriella from Atlanta from Facebook about this topic. She says, for years, my mother made me and my sister feel so made our self-esteem feel so low and our self-confidence because she was always stickler about how we maintain our bodies the size that we kept them. She says, even into my adulthood, when it came to getting into relationships, I found myself constantly comparing myself and making sure that I was the ideal size. How do we break these cycles so that once we become adults, they don't follow us?
Right. So we break those cycles by really letting people know what is the ideal size. When I think about according to who, I know, you know, moms have their thing, TV have their thing, our peers have their thing, men have their thing, but then you got to ask yourself, according to who? According to who that I have to be that size? According to who that I have to be that color? And what I like to think, I think, you know, none of us, you know, now body size, we have some control over that, but the color of our skin, the texture of our hair, the makeup of our face, the shape of our nose, the size of our eyes, I don't have any control over that. And so one thing that I do is I write down in so many areas of life things that I can control and things that I cannot control. I cannot control how you feel about me, if you like me, what you think about me, what you say. I can control how I feel, what I do, how I think about me. And so you kind of weigh those things out and say, what is it that I control and what is it that I don't have control of? And I think in order for us to be able to build that cycle, as more people begin to embrace themselves, they will begin to teach it. But a lot of times parents can't teach it to their kids because they're not embracing themselves. And it's been like a chain effect or a ripple effect, and it goes on from generation to generation because mom is teaching it because somebody taught it to her. And somebody have to break that cycle to say that, hey, baby, or hey, son, you're okay. And if there are some things about you that you don't like, then you change them. But you don't have to be a serve nothing for anybody. And I think we just have to get to that point to know that we are okay the way we are. Because and I want to say this. You know, with me having the scars that I have, I mean, you're talking a broken femur, you're talking a broken jaw, you're talking where I knocked out my two front teeth, cut my tongue, and busted my chin open wide, a crushed knee and a broken ankle. So you're not talking about a person that, you know, that haven't been through some things, haven't encountered some things. But it wasn't a day that I didn't accept myself because I knew these scars, I was going to have them the rest of my life. So I had to tell myself, it's either I accept myself now or I go through the rest of my life worried about what people are going to think, what people are going to say. And I knew I had a whole life ahead of me. And I tell myself that I would not die before I live and that the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life. And I can't live a best life worried about what people think.
Absolutely. Another question comes from Destiny from Houston, Texas. She says, after your accident, she says, what do you believe gave you the push not to get down and depressed. She says, oftentimes once people have a traumatic experience in their lives, depression sets in and it's hard to get out of that. How did you push through?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Because I had my wreck in my 12th grade year of high school.
And wow.
Really fast. Had two car wrecks in my 12th grade year. I went to school only the first 9 weeks and the second 9 weeks. I was out the whole second 9 weeks and the fourth 9 weeks of my 12th grade year. But
wow.
This is what got me. I never got down because I picked myself up right where I was and I worked with what I had. And that is key. Work with what you have. Work with what you have, not with what you lost, because nothing that you lost, you never need it, whether it be people or things, time or stuff. Work with what you have. And so I challenge myself. Doctor said there was things that I would never do or it would take me forever to do. And so with me always being that challenger pusher, I used to just say, oh, they're not going to tell me what I'm not going to do. They're not going to tell me that I'd never do this. And so I just kept challenging myself. And I think, you know what, honestly, I think what helped me, I didn't have the peer pressure to have to worry about what people said at school because I wasn't at school. So I had a lot of time to spend with myself working on my recovery versus working on my pain. I was working on my recovery to say, you know, I need to be doing this to start back getting up. And I walked on crutches for a whole year after being in the hospital for almost 2 months to work on my recovery. And so my goal was working on where I was going and not where I was.
Absolutely.
My goal is I wanted to get up. I wanted to walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love that. And what I want to do is I want to take a break, but we're going to come back and we're going to jump into the subject tonight. You guys are going to be talking about unwrapping your gifts while creating multiple streams of income. And don't forget, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Onika Shirley, feel free to call in. The number is 347-326-9139 is the number. All you have to do is press 1 to join the conversation. And we're going to take a break, folks.
Your palm, yes, sir. Hey, y'all. It's Coach Michelle Jackson. And when I'm not busy coaching, motivating, or writing, I listen to Bianca Fly on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. Bianca Fly takes me high on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. Tonight, we are on with Dr. Onika Shirley, you guys, and we are just getting ready to jump into our topic tonight. We're talking about unwrapping your gifts while creating multiple streams of income. And, of course, Dr. Shirley, the first question so many people had when it came to this subject is, how do we go about identifying our gifts?
Great question. So you first can identify your gift by trying it out. And what I mean by trying it out is there are things that are called potential. So sometimes we miss realizing that full potential because we don't try it. So try out things that comes natural to you, things that you don't have to try so hard, things that you don't have to practice on, things that just feel natural. Try
right.
that.
And so when folks, because a lot of times when we are trying to identify our gifts, I've heard so many people, you know, have that discussion on, you know, I just don't know what I'm good at. And so a lot of times we're having to, you know, kind of, you know, self-evaluate ourselves and discover what it is or what gifts that we in fact do obtain. And so what happens if we do those things, but they don't work out? And I know sometimes people will be like, okay, well, that just wasn't my gift. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's not your gift because it didn't work out the first go around. Is that in fact true? Do you believe that?
I do believe that because there's a difference in some of our gifts and
yeah.
some things that we may like. So some things we may like
okay.
because we are attractive to it, because we
right.
see other people doing it, and it looks good on them. And
right.
so sometimes social media and TV and even in public, it looks like, oh, I want to do that too, because they do it so naturally that it
right.
doesn't really look like it's difficult to do. So sometimes,
absolutely.
And one thing that you said when you said evaluate ourselves,
yeah.
that was kind of like my next point. We have to evaluate ourselves honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes we know that we know where our real struggles are. Even
mm-hmm.
when people say, oh, girl, you can do that real good. You knew what that made you feel like. You knew you was out of your comfort zone. You knew that really wasn't you. So you have to evaluate and be brutally honest with yourself to say, this is really not my thing.
Right.
And you know the reasoning behind why you're doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing that keep you up at night, that thing that you would do even if you didn't get paid, that thing that keep coming back up even when you try to forget it, those are the things where you can kind of start saying, okay, this may be what I was called and created to do. Because
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we get into things that we find to do, but we wasn't necessarily made for it or made to do it.
Mm.
So we see those
yeah.
things that look attractive to us, but they're not our thing. And we have to stay
okay.
in our own lane.
That's right. Absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of times we see people, and it kind of goes back to what you said, especially as far as social media. We may see someone who is a life coach. We may see someone who is that motivational speaker. We may see someone who has created that business. And so in our mind, we're thinking, like, okay, wow, if they can do that, I can do that too. But I always tell people everybody's journey to certain things are different. You know, just because you see what somebody else is doing, it doesn't mean that your journey is going to take the route that theirs took.
for them to tap into their gift, you know. And so a lot of times we may not know what we're in store for when we go and we like what we see and we're saying, okay, well, I can do this. But sometimes we're not fully prepared for what's in store ahead. Because we think, you know, it looks so easy, or, oh, maybe this person is making so much money doing this, I should do that too. But, you know, everybody has their challenges, you know, getting to that point in life.
Right. I agree. And as you said, social media has kind of put us, and it was really long before social media, because people saw the Joneses across the street, their neighbors down the street,
Very true.
So mm-hmm. Before social media came into the picture, but again, we have to know what's for us, what it is, and know that, you know, what's on the inside of us. You know, what is on the inside of us that we're willing when don't nobody else believe that that's what you should be doing?
Right.
Where you say, I know because it's in my knowing, and I know that I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And
right.
So I like to tell people this. When 99 people say that that's not your thing, but one person say it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when one person said that it is and 99 people say it's not, when it's your thing, it don't matter what the 99 people say. You're going to do
right.
it. You're
going
to be it. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what's our next step?
So our next step is, once you try it out and once you evaluate it, then get the feedback. See if the transformations are being made. See if the impacts are being made, the inspirations, the motivations, the empowerment. See if you have the motivation that's necessary. Because this is, I want to give one key thing for a person that's looking for the gift. And one key thing that they can use to kind of evaluate is, what they are doing, is it a good enough reason for them to keep doing it? Because see, a lot of times a thing that's not your thing, you will start it, but you won't finish. You will start it, but you won't put the time in it. You won't put the money in it. You won't put the effort in it. You won't do nothing. It looks good. So that's why a lot of people start and stop things, because
right.
it's really not their thing, and they haven't really found that good enough reason. Not this big million-dollar reason. It got to be enough for you to say, I'll keep going. Enough for you to say that I'll keep trying. Enough for you to say that I'll keep showing up. And that's a good evaluating point, because a lot of times we don't make those things priority because we haven't found mm-hmm. that good enough, because it's really not our thing.
Right.
It looks good on you, and I'll try it. But if it don't fit right, I'm not putting it on no more.
Right.
But that's what you wear every day. That's what you do.
Onika, do you think that a lot of times, a lot of us, we may have identified our gifts, but we're not willing to put the work in behind making that gift present and showing that gift to other people? So do you think that sometimes we're afraid to put in the work that it takes to push that gift further than we want to?
Oh, absolutely, yes. That mm-hmm. is like 1,000 times yes. And and the reason why is because of fear. It's because
yeah.
of the fear of failure. It's because of the fear of acceptance. And
right.
it's because of the fear of what other people think. And so you will shrink back or not, you know, put it out there like you thinking, because you're a person thinking in their mind, what is everybody else going to think? What if this don't work? What if I fail? You know, mm-hmm. what if they say that I've been trying this and I've tried that and none of it didn't work? What is this thing that you're doing now? So I think
mm-hmm.
the number one reason for that is fear of something or fear of somebody.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. When it comes to identifying our gifts, what do you believe is that next step? We've identified that gift, and so now comes the question, well, what do I do with this? Because a lot of times we find people who are very gifted in various things. Maybe somebody's gifted in when it comes to baking, singing, you know, public speaking, being a counselor. How do we go about finding out what to do with these gifts?
Okay. So then you have to kind of search out. You have to search out the need, because everybody don't need your gift. Everybody don't want your gift. So
right.
You have to find out for people. You got to search out where your gift is needed, wanted, and accepted, because you will find that there may be some people that you said need your gift, but they don't desire it. And so it's still not a good gift. Because you can give somebody something that you know they need, and they put it on the shelf and figure, I'm not using it. I don't want it. I don't want it from her. And so you have to find where your gift will be accepted and where it's needed. So you and this is the thing. A lot of times when we don't figure that out, we figure, well, I just won't do nothing. But I want to say this to the listening audience. We were with the Creator before we came here. And if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're returning back to the Creator. And if there was nothing to be done in between those two acts, why are we here? So at some point you have to know that we will each be held accountable for what we did or did not do.
Absolutely. For you personally, Onika, when did you realize your gifts that you acquired?
Oh, I think at a very, very early age, because God has blessed me in numerous areas. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we're gifted, it can be a problem when you have too many gifts, because then you don't know what to use and where to use and how to use and who to use them with.
Right.
But I think at a very early age, I was always the one that, you know, kind of schooled myself that, oh, I'll never go to summer school and I'll never do this and I'll always go to college and I'll always do this. Things that I didn't really see. So I know it had to come from God, because I didn't see those that I was going to never not do. I didn't see it in my siblings. I didn't see it in my mom. I didn't see it around in my immediate surroundings. So at a very early age, I had a entrepreneur spirit. I started kind of like, you know, seventh grade, where I call it flipping my money, buying stock crunches for 99 cents and making the $2.50, you know, with the $1.50 profit. And I just kept doing that in my business, you know. So I had that entrepreneur. I buy my little oatmeal pies and my box of Star Crunch.
Yeah.
And so I had that mindset from an early age that I was a leader and a game changer. And and I've always just operated in that magnitude to say that I had something to offer. And not always knew how to get it out, and still trying to figure some of it out. But I start with the one step, and I allow him to lead and guide me to show me, you know, the next step and the next step and the next step. Cause, and I think that's another thing, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hush. A lot of times we try to have, we paralyze ourselves with analysis paralysis. We want to know the whole picture. And that's not what he wants us to do. If you can just look at the frame and not worry about the background and the contents on the inside, the glass and this and that. So we get an analysis paralysis because we don't know everything to do instead of taking the first step.
Wow. I love that. Absolutely love that. And it reminded me of when you were talking about, so I remember in middle school, and there was a band trip coming up, and I said, and I told my mom, you know, my parents how much it would be, and I said, but I don't need you to give me the money. I said, I'm going to make the money myself. And so that's what I did. She took me to the store. I bought these big boxes of different candy, and that's what I did. I sold them, of course, made that profit, paid for my trip, and then had a little extra over. And so kind of from that point on, I always knew that I would be the one to always, you know, make a way. You know, it's easy. It's easy sometimes for people to just do stuff for you. But for me, I've always, you know, even from a young child, have found the joy of making a way for myself, you know. And so it always gives me a piece of joy within myself when I can, you know, see myself making the steps to make things happen. And even now as adulthood, even though a lot of people, oh, I can do this and I can do that. If I can do it and I'm able to do it right, then I will do it. I'm not afraid to ask people for help, but I've always just enjoyed the drive and the push, you know, to get things accomplished because I knew I could.
Yes, and that's a good place to be. And I think I kind of had that same attitude that I didn't want to be at the mercy of another person because I think I can deal with a lot of stuff. But
that's
being
right.
at the mercy of another person is the worst place to be. I wouldn't want to be in a place where if I needed that last glass of water that I had to depend on somebody to give it to me.
That's right.
And I know we probably get at that point at some point, but as much as I can, if I can do it for myself, that's my preference.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, as I would say, the new year is definitely around the corner. And so a lot of people are planning that they can make their new year even better in years to come. And a lot of that is definitely centered around income. And so how do we go about? And this is one of those things that I just actually, you know, really got into over the past couple of years is the multiple streams of income. Because for a lot of people, they have that one particular job, you know, that they do every day. And that's where that source of income comes from. But to have multiple ones, how do we go about creating multiple streams of income? What is the first step that we need to do to set up multiple streams of incomes for ourselves?
Okay, the absolutely first step is a mindset shift. We have to change the way we think, and we have to upgrade. You know, a lot of people are still in the industrial age, in the industrial era, to feel like we got to work, and you have to work for what you want. But there are so many different things that has changed since that time. We in a technology age where, you know, you can make a passive income while you sleep. And so one thing that you said earlier in the show is people are skeptical. But as long as the enemy can keep us skeptical, he'll keep us behind. So we have to be willing and open to take some risk and to say that, you know, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. And you don't put in a thing where you're going to lose your life or anything, but you got to be willing to take some healthy risk because, and just to give an example, I've been on a job for 11 and a half years. Company been in the city for 22 and a half years, but they made an announcement on July the 23rd this year that they were shedding their doors. No warning, no nothing. They gave people 4 to 6 weeks service pay. And I'm in senior management, and I'm blessed because of my gift to be the only one still working in the office after the plant is closed. But if I had not had multiple streams of income, an announcement like that could have been devastating. And so I like to think of my income as the eyes on my stove. I said, you know, I don't like to put all my food in one pot because if one pot burns, I still have something to eat. And so we need multiple streams of income because jobs, they're in control. We're not in control of our destiny. And so having those announcements, we got to think of multiple streams of income. It isn't just a survival technique, but it is a strategy for building wealth. We got to get out of the mindset that we don't have nothing to leave and don't have nothing to give, because it says in the word that we should leave for our grands and our great grands. So we got to get out of survival mode of just having enough to pay bills and to barely make it and live check to check. But well, we are able to do stuff outside of bills, but to also to build wealth, to leave a legacy for generations to come.
Yes, absolutely. And I found it, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't think about that, the leaving the legacy behind parts. And a lot of times, you know, people get frustrated when they know certain people, and we, you know, we have that saying, oh, they come from money. Well, they come from a legacy. Someone created a legacy for them.
That's right.
So that they could have that generational wealth, so that they would have those things in place for years to come. And so, you know, now more than ever, I am one of those people as well about laying that legacy. And I also, you know, think that should be one of our things that we think about daily. How can I leave a legacy in the things that I do? You know, the places I go and the people I help, how can I leave a legacy behind? Because it's one thing to do different things and to have money and spend it. But how about creating that legacy so that your grandchildren, you know, great grands and whomever to come after you still has that foundation to build upon and take that legacy even further?
Right. And I like how you said that, because, you know, they come from a legacy. They came from a sacrifice. And a lot of us, we're not willing to sacrifice. You know,
that's
legacies
right.
are built by sacrifices.
Mm.
And and when we say, oh, I feel it down in my spirit, because when we make the sacrifice, and a lot of us, we have the mindset to feel like, well, didn't nobody leave me nothing? But it got to start somewhere. And a lot
of us,
we say that, you know, our forefathers and grandparents and grandfathers, they didn't have the access. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the opportunity that we have. So this era, our people, we should be the ones that's thinking about it every day, because it's sad to say, but if we don't have something that's going to live here after we leave here, people, after a while, they'll forget that we ever existed. They will.
That's right.
After a while, they'll go on to something else and they'll forget about you. But if you got something where your name is still moving and ringing and showing up long after you're gone, that's when you're leaving a legacy.
Absolutely. 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 When it comes to multiple streams of income, a lot of times people, you know, wonder, is this something that, you know, they should do themselves? How, you know, is it okay for us to share our gifts with others? How do we go about sharing our gifts with others? And I don't know if there's a way this could happen, but is there a way of sharing our gifts with others where others don't take our gifts and run with it at times?
Yeah, you have to be careful, but nobody can be an original you. Nobody can be you the way you are you. So even though they may see the blueprint, but a person had still the blueprint that didn't draw it, didn't really know why the lines go the way they go, don't know why the rhythm is the way the rhythm is, you don't have to worry about it. And I think a lot of people, they hold back because they're worried about somebody stealing it, but they overlook the fact that nobody is getting it. If you don't put it out there, nobody is benefiting from it. Not you, not them, and not even the person that's trying to duplicate it. And so I look at it like this. If you copy something that I have, I know that it was always an original. And if you're okay for going to get a trophy for first place for a race that you know you didn't run, it's okay with me, because my ultimate pay comes from God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When it comes to those multiple streams of income, how do we go about making sure that, you know, we don't, because a lot of times when people come into multiple streams of income, when you see the money pour in, a lot of times people tend to, you know, just go out. What do we do to maintain those multiple streams of income without immediately going and running ourselves into some type of debt?
Right. So one thing you have to change, you got to change your money mindset. Mm-hmm. You got to change your money mindset, because you find people that are not used to money, that's why they don't keep it. So a lot of times we hear cliches where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, but right. The rich do things that the poor don't, and they change mm-hmm. their mindset. So when we earn yeah. from our multiple streams, we have to spend less, earn more, and invest wisely. And when we do that, we're not spending it as fast as we make it. So I have a rule that I do, you know, even with the making of the money, you know, you got your 10% that you give to God, the 10% that you pay to yourself. But the 10% that you pay to yourself is not for you to go freely, willy-nilly. That's for you to make an investment. And then you still have your savings. So you have to understand money. Because if you make money and don't have education around money and financial literacy, which a lot of people
That's
don't,
right.
You'll find yourself, you're making it, but as fast as you're making it, you're spending it, and then you don't have a track record. And then you still have a lot of people, because a lot of people feel like making more money, the more money you make, the more problems you have if you don't
That's right.
have education or a mindset around money. Because you just got bigger problems. You got the same problems that the poor people have. You just got it on a bigger scale.
I love it. Absolutely.
So instead of having,
look,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Instead of having a $10,000 problem, you got a $100,000 or $1 million problem. And so you think that you're better off. You're losing your mind worse than the person that had that $10,000
debt. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, Onika, for the folks out here who would love to get in contact with you, I'm telling you guys, there's no better time than the present to connect with an awesome person such as Dr. Onika Shirley to get on board, to wrapping those gifts and those multiple streams of income and the many other avenues that she can help you as well. And so for the folks out there who want to be able to connect with you, you know, maybe start up some services with you, how did they go about doing that?
I am on social media as Onika Shirley. My email is actionspeaksvolume@gmail.com. Again, that is actionspeaksvolume@gmail.com. I am on Instagram as Onika Shirley, and that's where you can find me. Also, my phone number is 870-714-1766. Again, that number is 870-714-1766, and you're free to text or call.
Love it, absolutely. Dr. Onika, tell us, at the end of the day, after helping women, after helping many, tap into those gifts, multiple streams of income, the confidence building, the procrastination coaching, what does Dr. Onika Shirley want her legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be that I left this place better than it was when I came. And this place will be wherever I go. And so I like to think that wherever I go, I make an impact, that when I'm not there, you know I'm not there anymore. It wouldn't be where you didn't never know that I was there, because there will be an impact, an impression, and a void in my absence, because I will be there to make a difference. Game changer.
Absolutely love it. I love it. And I'm so pumped up just hearing you discuss different things tonight. I'm so pumped up. I'm so encouraged, and I love your energy. I love what you do, and I'm glad that we were able to connect and you able to come on the show this evening. I thoroughly appreciate you, and I hope that folks out here who are listening and on the phone lines were able to take some things away from the conversation and dialogue this evening. So it's been definitely a pleasure having you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so before we get out of here, do you have any final words and thoughts you want to share with the listeners?
Yes. So my final words would be for you to unwrap the gift that God has given you, and know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And with that, when you walk in it, whether people recognize it, acknowledge, pat you on the back, or put you under the spotlight, know that your gift will make room for you. Your gift will allow you to generate wealth. Your gift will allow you to make an impression and impact wherever you go. God bless you.
Absolutely. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I want folks to be able to tune into your show as well. So tell them how they can go about tuning into your show also.
Tuning in to my show, we are live every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a dial-in number of 319-527-3423. Again, that radio show number is 319-527-3423. And we're posted all over my social media page. And, again, we're live every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And once again, thank you so much for coming on here. I truly appreciate having you on the show. It's definitely being amazing talking with you.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and you have a great rest of your week and weekend, and I'll be talking with you again soon. And please feel free to come back on here anytime. We would definitely love to have you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good night. All right.
All right, you guys. That was Dr. Onika Shirley, founder of Action Speaks Volume, as well as Confident Building and Procrastination Coach. And make sure you guys go and check out her show as well, Action Takers, Walking by Faith. And I will be putting that information for the time and dates on the Beautiful Butterfly Show page also, so that you guys may tune in. And also, I hope you guys were able to grab these amazing nuggets that she dropped on the show tonight, and that you walk away tapping into those gifts and using them and pushing them through to make those multiple streams of incomes for yourself, and leaving that legacy behind for your loved ones to come after. And so with that said, folks, we're going to get ready to get out of here. But next week, you guys can join us as we welcome Oclave Sebastian. He is the author of Memoirs of a Hopeless Romantic. He's going to be joining us next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. And so with that said, folks, we're going to get ready to get out of here. You guys have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you back here next week, same time, same place, right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
The Beautiful Butterfly Show would like to thank you for tuning in. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/The Beautiful Butterfly Show. Also on Facebook.com/The Beautiful Butterfly Show. And last but certainly not least, you can also catch up with us on Twitter. That's at Twitter.com/ The Beautiful Butterfly Show. And thank you once again for tuning in on behalf of the Vibration Radio Network.